Welcome to the 10-12, the podcast that covers all 10 teams in the Big 12 Conference. I'm your host, Philip Slavin. Thank you for joining us on this Monday. With me, as they always are, as we recap the weekend that was and look to the week ahead, my good friends, Jamie Steyer.
Hello. I'm ready to talk some basketball. That sounds like a good way to start the week.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. And coming to us without video, which means he's probably just sitting there making faces at us when we can't see them, Andy Mitz.
Yeah, that's not what I was doing, but I'm going to start doing that now. Yeah,
this is going to be fun. The video is going to start working randomly, and you're not going to know that it is, and we're just going to watch you make weird faces, and then I'm going to save
it's gonna
it.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to record it. I'm going to save it, and I'm just going to throw it up on Instagram and Twitter.
Although that's not any different than normal. I'm normally making weird faces at you guys. It's just normal you can see them.
This is true. I could put a compilation of Andy's weird faces, and I'm afraid we might lose followers from it. I don't know. That we'd save it for the gram. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Twitter at 1012 podcast, T E in the number 12 the word podcast, on the gram at 1012 pod. Is that still the cool way to say it? Is the gram? Am I getting too old? Is that how the youths pronounce it? Is the gram? Are they still on the gram, or are they all just TikTok now? I won't do TikTok. I'm not gonna do it.
I feel like I used to think that I knew what was cool, and now Gen Z makes fun of millennials for wearing side parts and skinny jeans, and so I no longer feel cool.
Yeah, look, I was never they cool. Basically stole their looks from the 90s, and everyone will tell you nothing good came from fashion in the 90s, so if that's what you want to pull from, you wear those mom jeans at the age of 16. That's fine.
It's just as well, because I don't whatever. Think you can think that you're too cool if you're a teacher. I feel like that would be setting me up for failure, so I might as well accept that I'm not cool now.
No, it's okay.
What a great way to start the podcast.
What's the line from Almost Famous? Like, we're uncool. That's fine. Okay. I don't remember the line now. This is terrible. We're going to move on. Should we kick things off with our men's and women's teams of the week? That's what we do here on the show on Mondays. Look back to the men's and women's basketball, which is undergoing, and pick our teams for the week. Andy, you have requested to go last, so I will afford you that opportunity. Jamie, who's your women's team of the week? Let's start on the women's side here.
I can't get away from the same pattern that I've had, which is to pick whoever beat Iowa State. And I think part of it is that, like, I will always be watching Iowa State's games. I will never miss one. So that, you know, means that that'll always be top of mind. But genuinely, this week, Oklahoma State won two games, won really big games to stay right near the top of the conference. I mean, they're doing what they need to do, and I think they're kind of peaking at the right time. They battled this week. You know, they had a couple of tough games. They played Iowa State and Kansas State, and again, Kansas State not having a great Big 12 season, but they've got really good players, especially their post presence. I mean, and considering Oklahoma State runs a lot through their post, but I digress. Oklahoma State had a great week to put themselves in a position to have a really good shot at finishing second in the conference.
Yeah. No, look, I agree. It's the Cowgirls. It's the only team that went 2-0. There weren't that many games played. There were only two midweek games that happened this week due to a variety of things, including the weather. And shouts to everybody in Texas or anywhere who's dealing with it. Like, I can't complain. We've been cooped up for more than a week with two young kids, which isn't the best thing. And I've got some cabin fever, but we had electricity and water, so I'm not gonna gripe at all. There's no reason for me to. But it left us with just one 2-0 team, and it was either going to be the winner of Iowa State, Oklahoma State, and OSU. The Cowgirls got up to like a 20-point lead in the second quarter and tried to pull a men's team and let that dwindle away. Iowa State actually came all the way back and took a lead in the fourth, but OSU was able to put it back on and get that win there over the Cyclones. So I agree. OSU going 2-0. They now should finish no worse than third in the conference this year. And I believe this was a team that was picked second to last or eight. Yeah. Eighth. So this team was preseason picked eight. They're going to finish probably no worse than to me than third. They're the only team that I can tell that has played every game. They had one postponed game against Kansas State. They've been able to make that up. They've got a road game at Baylor coming up midweek, and that's it. Everyone else has games to figure out, games to make up. They've been able to get pretty much their whole schedule in, assuming they get this midweek game against Baylor. So props for Oklahoma State. Huge season, especially considering what they had coming in. I am going to go so far as to say, and I don't feel like this is too much of a homer pick, I think Coach Littell should be Big 12 Coach of the Year. I do.
Yeah.
You lost some players in the offseason to Texas Tech and other things who transferred. You preseason pick number eight. You were dealing with COVID and everything else. It's a weird year. And they have not only gone on and are going to probably finish at worst third, you now have set a new record at Oklahoma State for Big 12 wins at 13, with potentially a 14th if they find a way to get a win at Baylor this week. Even if not, 13 conference wins is the most OSU's ever had in conference play. I think Jim Littell should be Big 12 Coach of the Year for the women's side. I don't know what the rumors are. I don't know what people are saying about that. I don't know if it's just going to go to Mulkey like it always does, because she's, you know, the team's not apparently as good as it usually is, yet they're still only 17-2. But it feels like he's the guy who should probably get the nod here this year.
Yeah, so I was taking a look here, and you know, I was having a hard time because, like you said, with all the postponements or probably cancellations at this point, because I doubt they're gonna be able to make most of these games up. It was hard for me to really kind of, you know, like for there to be any kind of actual debate. And so I did what I normally do in those kind of situations and tried to find some off the wall, kind of half funny reason to pick a, you know, a team that isn't the obvious choice here. And I was all ready to say, oh my gosh, look at those Kansas Jayhawks just barely losing to two pretty good teams. And then realized just how bad Texas Tech actually is, or how not really good Texas Tech is this year. So I couldn't quite follow through on that. So instead I'm just going to have to agree with you guys. You know, it's Oklahoma State. They're the only one, they're like the only team that actually had a good win this week, because all the other games where there were opportunities for good wins got postponed.
And Jamie, I'm curious. We'll just do this real quick.
Yeah.
Big 12 Player of the Year. Is it Collier? Is it just automatically Collier? Or considering how well Natasha Mack played against her, is it Mack? Or is there a third player that I'm just not as aware of who, maybe for Baylor, that you think has a better opportunity?
Honestly, I would have to dive into like where their numbers ended up. I think that Mack has a significantly higher impact on whether Oklahoma State wins games or not than Texas, or than Collier has for Texas. I think Texas has some guards that have the ability to kind of control the game a little bit more than Oklahoma State supporting cast does. But I would just have to dive in, because to me, I think that Natasha Mack has been more consistent, maybe not as flashy at times, but I think she's been really consistent. But I've also probably watched a little bit more Oklahoma State than I have Texas. So if the numbers back up what I'm thinking, I would personally go with Mack. I think Collier will get it. I generally don't agree with the Player of the Year picks. But they're definitely very, very close up there.
Yeah, so they're pretty close statistically speaking. Scoring, Collier is third in the Big 12. Mack is sixth. That's a difference of 21.3 points per game versus 19.9. Rebounding, Natasha Mack is second, but Collier is first. And as we're talking a 0.3 difference per game. Field goal percentage, Natasha Mack is second. Collier is third. Now, here's the deal. I do think I think they kind of went 1-1 against each other. Though teams, you know, the team split the regular season, which I think was a big deal. But I want to point out one stat that I think should probably give Mac a little bit of the edge. We'll start with this one. Steals per game. Natasha Mack is averaging 2. Goyer's not listed in the top 25 individuals. Blocks per game. Natasha Mack averages 4.2. Collier is 1.3. Not only does she average 4.2, Oklahoma State leads the NCAA this year in team blocks at 164. Natasha Mack has 96th. If Natasha Mack was a team this year, she would be tied for 20th with Richmond and Tennessee, 2 blocks behind Texas Tech at 18.
She's an incredible defender. It's not even funny. Like, she can guard guards easily. It's like, it's not even fair.
Does it feel a little bit like maybe Collier ends up with player of the year, but Mack ends up defensive player of the year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't think of someone else that deserves defensive player of the year. She's very much near the top of the conversation for national defensive player of the year. But well, I'll put it this way. I believe that Natasha Mack should win Big 12 defensive player of the year. I think there is stiff competition because Dee Dee Richards is on Baylor and is known as a good defender. I don't think that it's close, in my opinion, but I think the voting may be close. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. So that covers our women's teams of the week. Obviously, one game of note I will point out, Oklahoma, the Sooners have had a really rough season. They've kind of turned things on as of late. They had an interesting Sunday. They had a tie game with Baylor, number 7 Baylor, at the half. They were tied at the half. Now, look, Baylor pulled away, won by 11 at the end. But props to Oklahoma. You know, they hadn't won a whole lot. And they beat Iowa State and won at West Virginia in back-to-back games, which were 2 huge wins. Didn't get their Texas Tech game. That's been postponed. And they get a game versus Baylor where they play Baylor tough. Really, really tough. They've got 4 games left on the schedule. Man, this is crazy. They have 4 games scheduled. OSU has 1 game left. So they're going to get some of these games made up. They've got road games at TCU and Texas and then home games against TCU and Kansas State. So maybe they can make a little run here. I don't think it's not going to be enough to make the NCAA tournament, barring a Big 12 tournament win. But for Oklahoma, it's a team you typically see being one of the best in the country. The way they've been this season to kind of turn things around here this way, I think is really impressive for them. So I want to give a little bit of shout out to the Sooners. I'm not saying ladies. I don't ever want to do lady any, like, can we just call them? No one goes like lady bears. No one goes in the woods and goes, oh, there's a bear. Oh, and a lady bear. No, you just call them bears. Okay. We don't need to, oh, I didn't know that was a lady. I looked at her like, just stop with the lady stuff, and I hate that. I hate that stuff so much. It's so dumb.
The only exception I'll make is if the team themselves says that that's what they
are. No, because it's still stupid, because it was done years ago, and it's still dumb. I don't care if the team does. The team is wrong. Just call them what they are. They're the Bears. Again, there's the hawk in the sky. Well, no, that's not 10 hawks. That's actually 6 hawks and 4 lady hawks. You got to discern that it's just hawk. Just call it what it is, okay? Oh,
I love it that this is the hill that Philip is ready to die.
Oh, I'm not a fan either. It's unnecessarily gendered. I mean, I think that the point is like we're our own thing, but it's just dumb.
Great.
They don't make, like, I mean, okay. Maybe if they wanted to make like specific women's basketball merch, but they don't do anything with it. So what's it matter?
Yeah. Like my thought on it is, and kind of where we're at. Is, you know, I mean, the world that we live in today, if that's the way that they want to identify themselves, then I am perfectly fine with it. But I also agree that we shouldn't just automatically add it on to all the women's teams. So
I want one school to be like, we have the Rams and the men Rams. We'll make sure there's a way to discern They're like, literally, like, think about that for a second. The gentlemen Rams. Just so that you know this, you can understand that those
we should
players
pitch that
have,
to. But I don't know. Home field.
Of course, you do
stuff.
Realize that Rams are by definition male, so that one wouldn't work. But I get the point you're trying to make.
So let's go to our men's team, which I think generally is similar
cut that
situation.
Segment
where...
out. Move on.
No.
Oh no 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 no! That should be the clip, the promo clip for Twitter this week.
Oh, we'll see. I like that.
10-12 faithful, what is up? It is Ryan Chapman, Christine Butterfield. We are the Sideline Morning Podcast, and Christine, we have a huge announcement.
Yes, we are now transitioning into more national news, which is super exciting, but don't worry, guys. Still going to be dunking on Ryan on the daily.
Look, some things never change, but Season 2 of Sideline Morning is coming to you January 26th. You can find it anywhere you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever. We are super excited to be a part of the Highball Network. And Christine, just can't wait to get back out there on January 26th.
Back and better than ever, baby.
So let's go to the men's side here. I think we're going to be a little bit different, everybody, here, because we got a weird situation where, again, due to the blizzard, and I'm not going to use the stupid nickname that people have been using because I think it's mostly insulting to everyone who's dealing with both terrible things that have been happening to us since 2020 and 2021. So let's just call it the blizzard that hit the U.S. Not that many teams actually played two games. So there's not a lot of 2-0 teams. Kansas did get to play two. I mean, the only midweek games were OSU over Iowa State and Kansas over Kansas State. And then we had four games on Saturday. By the way, if you guys weren't aware, because we shared this on Thursday, we'll get to that in a minute. Let's just do this. Let's just don't derail your own podcast, Philip. Don't do it. Men's team of the week. Jamie, since you went first before, where would you like to go here?
I don't get to watch a lot of men's basketball right now because both of the women's games were on the road this week, which means I was broadcasting two games. And in case anyone doesn't follow me on Twitter to see me complain, I'm also a full-time student and work like three jobs. But what I do know is Kansas had some times where maybe they were questioned. And I mean, they still are a little bit. They're not the Kansas that we have come to expect year in and year out, certainly, because they've, you know, like lost games here and there. But what they are doing is pretty much what they need to finish off the season. You know, they're at the point where they need to make that push to stay pretty close near the top of the Big 12. And I think they're doing that. And so considering how few games we had to go off this week, the fact that they also were able to win two games in a week, big ol' thumbs up to Kansas.
Andy, who's your team of the week? I'm going to save mine. I want you to go now.
Yeah, I mean, it really is only two options. It's either West Virginia for winning on the road against Texas or Kansas because they went 2-0 and had a home win over a ranked team. Like, those two wins for those two teams on Saturday were were far and away the two best wins of the week. And so, like, Kansas, I probably give Kansas the edge just because it was a two-game week for them. And, you know, as much as we want to dog on Kansas State because they're awful this year, that was still a rivalry game. It was still an opportunity for them to, you know, fall flat on their face, and they were able to win that one by double digits. So, you know, that is a win in the impressive column. Not quite as impressive as some of the other things they could have potentially done this week, but, you know, it's still, I think, impressive enough to actually be worth something when we're trying to talk about team of the week. And kind of to Jamie's point, and I don't know how much we want to go into this after this, but really, you know, this actually is the Kansas team that you expect Kansas to have, especially when they're not super talented. And, you know, like, the big difference this year is that, one, Kansas doesn't have a bunch of top tier, you know, bona fide for sure NBA talent on this roster. And the rest of the Big 12 is really good this year. Like, those are two things that we're just not used to seeing. They have finally rounded into form, I think, where the defense is playing up to the standard that you expect for a Kansas team under Bill Self. And I think that's really what the difference has been. They had a fantastic defensive effort in this game, and they weren't absolutely horrible from three for the entire game. Like, that's really what it came down to. And so this is the blueprint that Kansas is going to have to win. You know, if you look at the standings right now, based on percentage points, they're actually third in the Big 12, which I wouldn't have thought they would be at any point in the season after the way that they started. So they are rounding into form, depending on how many teams you actually get to make up games and how they actually do in those games. You know, Kansas has an opportunity to finish top three in the Big 12, which if you had told me that 2 weeks ago, I would have said that you were lying.
Yeah. Look, Kansas has now, I think two things. One, the schedule has gotten easier. And I do think that, you know, we questioned Texas Tech early on. We came on board with Texas Tech eventually when we saw them actually get some wins. But I still think Texas Tech is, they're 14-7, they're 6-6. I know they're ranked. They probably shouldn't be. I think Texas Tech is good. I don't think they should be bracketed over Kansas at this point. But I also think Kansas's schedule has gotten a little bit easier. You got the home win over Oklahoma State. You got back-to-back wins over Iowa State, a win over Kansas State, and then you, at the time that Kansas is rounding into form, get a win over get a nice win over Texas Tech. And I'm not trying to dog the win over Texas Tech, but I also think that some of this turnaround is the schedule has lightened up a little bit, right? Because you're 6-1 in your last seven. Your only loss was a road loss at West Virginia, and your other win was another win over Kansas State. So the schedule has lightened up a bit for them, which has really helped. But I do think Kansas is rounding into form a little bit. I also think a lot of credit to David McCormick. Shouts Fran Fraschilla tweeted this one out. I thought this was good. In his first 10 games, McCormick was averaging 9.6 points on 37% shooting. In the last 14, he's averaging 15.4 points. That's almost a 6-point increase, and shooting 55%, which is almost 20% better, and 6.7 rebounds. So I think McCormick's been a big part of their turnaround. I think he's playing really well, and that's important for Kansas. So, you know, I do think Kansas is rounding the corner and getting into, unlike some other teams in Big 12, they are getting into where you want them to be in time for the tournament. Now, after all...
One other thing to just jump on your David McCormick point. If you look at what he's done in conference play and like compare that to, you know, other notable players, whether at Kansas or otherwise, he actually has essentially the exact same line. And shout out to my co-host over on my podcast, who tweets over at Forrest over at Rock Chalk Talk for pointing this out. But his line in Big 12 conference play is essentially the exact same thing as Thomas Robinson's All-American line. You know, the season that he was an All-American. So he has been playing phenomenally in Big 12 play. A lot of kind of everyone's, I guess, really kind of what they're dogging him for was him getting off to a really slow start, which is what Kansas as an entire team has done so far this year, got off to a fairly slow start. And, you know, they're really turning it on now at this point. So that's I think, again, really what it kind of comes down to. Yes, you can talk about the schedule kind of lightening up for them, but they are also the only team so far that has played every game that's been on their schedule so far. And yes, the Iowa State game got postponed, but got pushed. So like the fact that they played most of their really hard games early in the season and now have gotten to the point where it lightened up, because that was really kind of backloaded for them to be able to have it lighten up here at this point. You know, I can't really hold that against them. Yes, it's nice that it kind of coincides here that they, you know, weren't playing so awful at this point in the season that they actually lost one of those easier games. But, you know, you're looking at some of the other better teams in the conference, you know, thinking Baylor specifically, they've dodged, not necessarily because they were trying to, but they've dodged a lot of their tougher matchups in the Big 12 conference so far. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things like, what if everybody was able to play all of their games, what would the actual conference standings look like at this point? I don't really know, because we didn't get to see a lot of the really good matchups that we were hoping to see, and I doubt that we're actually going to get to make most of them up.
Yeah, we talked about this on Thursday. I put this graphic on our Instagram account. The Big 12 currently has 14 games that have been postponed that are not currently on a schedule, that are not scheduled to be out. 14 games. Baylor has 6 of those. They played 9 conference games. Okay. Think about that for a second. They played 9. Kansas has played 16. Kansas is the only team, the only Big 12 team that does not have a game they have to make up at this point. Baylor has 6. Texas Tech has 4. TCU has 4. And a couple other teams that have 3. Baylor's games, they have games, home games against Texas, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, and road games at West Virginia and OU, and of course a home game against TCU. Yeah, they've got a lot of challenging games left to play. We'll see how many of those get made up. But I mean, this is what's going on this season. That's what's so weird. And that's why I would love for them to figure out how to make up these postponed games. We've dragged this out. We talked Kansas a little bit, but I need to talk about my men's team of the week. And I really considered doing West Virginia. That road win at Texas is big. Those are two pretty even teams. This was a Texas team that really hadn't been on the practice all week because camp has been shut down due to the blizzard. I think that impacted the fact that Texas had a 19-point halftime lead, which is West Virginia's second 19-point comeback win. They also did that against Oklahoma State earlier this season, so props to West Virginia, and I stand by right now. West Virginia's going to have some big comeback in the tournament for a win at some point. Like, they're just going to. And I really wanted to go with West Virginia, but that is not my team of the week, and neither is Kansas. And I realize this team went 1-1, and I don't typically pick a team that lost a game this week. But when you end a 13-game losing streak with a road victory where you weren't favored, I'm going to make you my team of the week, and that is Kansas State. I know they got pretty soundly beat by Kansas midweek. I understand that. They went on the road to TCU, who's not great. They're good. They're not great. They're 11-9. They have a winning record. They're 4-7. Now in conference play, the Kansas State got their second conference win, which both have come on the road, which I don't, whatever. Ending a 13-game losing streak. Reminder, this is a team that lost to, who's the, like, not even, like, it's Fort Hays State.
Fort Hays State.
They got blitzed by Fort Hays State. Remember that. This has been a bad year for Kansas State. Kansas State fans are just like, whatever. Which for good reason. I mean, how do you get excited about this team? I understand they're young, and there's some nice players there. I like Nigel Pack. I do. He's fun to watch. He should if he sticks around. I'm not saying anybody's leaving. He's a nice piece for Kansas State. But for them to get that win on the road at TCU, who's not a bad team, I think that's big. I think it's big for Kansas State. To end that losing streak, to get that win, that was a big day for Kansas State fans. I know for Bruce Weber, who the athletic director has basically given the vote of confidence, like, we're not getting rid of him, because I don't think they can afford to, or go hire anybody else. This is a nice moment. They've got Oklahoma and at West Virginia on the schedule right now. The games that they have currently that they needed to make up, they have won. And that's the home game against Iowa State. It's the only other, there's another opportunity for a win. Sorry, Jamie. But I think Kansas State deserves my team of the week, and that's who I'm going with.
An interesting choice. I would not have picked it. Of course, I also probably wouldn't have picked it because I completely failed to realize that, Kansas State actually beat TCU because I had completely checked out of that game. I was not expecting it to actually be worth talking about. So I don't know if I'm glad to have been proven wrong there, or if it's just like kind of a, makes you think.
I mean, look, normally, again, I wouldn't, but it's been a rough season. It's been a really rough season for Iowa State and Kansas State. Kansas State, I can't find the net rankings from the first two seasons, but I went through KenPom, right? I was going through KenPom, so I was trying to figure out, like, where does Kansas State rank among, like, worst teams of net? I talked to my good friend Brian Ralph over at Busting Brackens. I was like, could I make the argument that Kansas State's the worst, like, Power 5 net ranking team? And he's like, yeah, you could probably make that statement. You could probably make that to be a valid statement. Because I went through KenPom, and I would tell you right now, when I checked, they were almost at 200 in the KenPom rankings, which is way, way, way worse than a Big 12 team I could find. Now, I'm going to go see how far back I can go in KenPom and figure it out. It's just, this is how bad it is for Kansas State this year. So for them to get this win on the road
Texas
at TCU.
A&M,
oh, I remember when they went winless.
Texas A&M
I remember.
In 02. Was 213th. Cool. Baylor in 04 was 232nd.
Ooh.
Baylor in 05 was 236th. But
it's been a while
up there. Let's see. Colorado in 07 was 216th. So, I mean, there's been several.
So I would also argue.
But
let's go with, I would go with when the conference realigned and we went to everyone playing around Robin. I would be really curious with it. We're going to figure this out. I'm going to do the research. Andy over here pulling out. I knew Texas A&M went undefeated.
Live podcasting stuff. But no, there are some, like, it definitely has some, they definitely have some competition, but I will definitely agree. This is one of the most historically bad, I mean, honestly, Power Five teams in quite a long time.
Yep. It's not good. But it'll bounce back. All right, it's time for our weekly home field magic spring football season segment here. Of course, we have all adopted an FCS team that is playing spring football, and that also has to coincide and have a home field apparel, awesome gear. And
some of us have returned our adopted team.
I can't make this shit up. So we this week. Home field released gear for James Madison. It's friggin' awesome. They're the Dukes. Or Dookie. No, just Dukes. Just don't say Dookie. Don't ever say that word again. Don't say Dookie. They're the Dukes, and they're awesome. There's some really cool stuff. And we were joking, like, dagnabbit, we wish they'd have put this out before we selected our three teams. Mine be North Dakota State, Jamie with North Carolina A&T, and Andy with Delaware. And then we started doing our digging, and it appears that whatever information I pulled from was slightly outdated, because North Carolina A&T back on February 11th, which would be like
before 4 days recorded that episode.
Before we recorded. Yeah. Look, I I feel like I sent everything out. Like, we talked about it like on the 10th. And so like the next day they canceled. North yep. Carolina A&T has canceled their, I swear, I'm going to pull out the text messages and we will have decided what we were going to do on Wednesday, and I didn't go back to double check it on Sunday, and they canceled on Thursday. So North Carolina A&T is not having a season. So North Carolina A&T is out. Bye, Felicia. I'm never doing that again. Oh, God.
Are you okay?
No, I'm not. I told you, I'm trying not to complain about cabin fever, but when you're cooped up for over a week with two small children.
We can just blame it on COVID. I mean, it seems like we can blame everything else on COVID. So,
well, COVID, blizzard,
storm,
two young kids. Anyways, Jamie now gets to drop North Carolina A&T and pick up the Dukes. I'm telling you, some of these new home field Duke Jamie things are...
I'm going to be honest. I'm a little jealous. I mean, had I known that JMU was coming, especially since I lived in Virginia for quite a while, I probably would have been tempted to go ahead and take James Madison, but...
Look, I liked North Carolina A&T because I got an aggressively, vaguely human-looking dog mascot that kind of looked like a dog went into, like, a combination of a 95-year-old man. And I get to keep that aesthetic alive with this JMU merch. This hoodie with the dog, and he's got a crown and a spiked collar, and he's standing on his back feet. This is incredible.
And not just a crown, one of those proper, like, big, like, kind of rounded velour and gold, like, crown, and a pair of shorts, and he's putting up his Dukes. Haha, pun intended, and I'm pretty sure that's the pun that they intended when they designed him that way. Oh, yeah, he is... He is like 1950s boxer jacked, except he also
He punches meat to get in shape. Like sides of beef he is using as a punching bag. That is the situation we have.
Yeah, he punches them before he just rips them to
shreds.
Exactly. Although I can't tell if he actually has any teeth in that picture, but...
He definitely does.
So checking out our teams... Delaware will not start playing until March. So Andy gets to sit on the sidelines while we do this. North Dakota State is currently 2-0. Yeah, they played that UCA game that doesn't matter back in the fall, which was like the highlight game for what's his name that's going to the NFL. Don't dog me because I don't remember his name. Anyways, North Dakota State started their season on Sunday with a win over Youngstown State 25-7, so they're 2-0, 1-0 in Missouri Valley. As we mentioned, home field magic. There's a reason we call this home field magic. James Madison, Jamie, they played their first game this weekend with a little home field magic. How'd that go for the old Dukes?
They won by like 50 points. And so I feel really great about my newly adopted team. Yep.
I think you traded up. I think you traded up. I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they won 52-0. And I believe at one point in the first quarter, or after the first quarter, they had outgained their opponent 217 yards to 3.
Ooh. Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it was ugly.
That's good. That's good football.
Wait a minute. That's looking at the I was looking at the wrong thing. They only won 25-7, so I don't know where I got the 52 out from.
I also
maybe I was North another score on accident. But
wait, who are you talking about? North Dakota State won 25-7. James Madison
won 52-0. Oh, I'm sorry. Beat Moorhead
That's
State.
What I'm doing. I am mixing up my teams. Oh my gosh. Sorry about that. Yes.
One is a bison, one is a jacked bulldog, and you have a blue hen.
Yeah, no. My problem was we had to go find the North Dakota State score because ESPN's score app or whatever you want to call that thing, for some reason put it a week after, even though it was in the same scheduled week. So
because they don't care about FCS. They don't care.
Yeah, but because I spent so much effort looking for the North Dakota State score, and then we started talking about James Madison, I unfortunately mixed the two up. So I apologize for that. Yes, they won 52-0 and just completely destroyed Moorhead State. It was absolutely ridiculous.
So if you want to go check out these James Madison tees and sweaters and hoodies, which you should, go to homefieldapparel.com. They also happen to have Baylor and Iowa State gear. They have the best Iowa State gear you will find, period. When you do, grab a couple things. Grab a sweater. Grab a tee. There's over 100 different schools there. Once you go to checkout, use the promo code 1012, T-E-N-1-2, get 20% off your first order. By the way, right now, free shipping on orders over $70, so more than 70, because it's not a bridge, it's a dollar amount. Grammatical Nazi, I know. It's more than, not over. Anyways, so homefieldapparel.com. I swear, their Twitter account is a lot more fun than me being a grammar Nazi. Like, you should go. And you should.
You have picked Twitter. Some really weird hills to die on today, Philip.
I am, you know, some of it's about dying on hills, and some of it is about, it's just trying to keep the synapses going in my brain long enough to get the show
I've
out.
I've never felt that so hard.
Yeah, so that's where we are. And for people listening, bless you. I love you all. You're amazing. Thank you for being loyal. Homefield Apparel, 10-12, 20% off, free shipping on orders more than $70, and be rocking some awesome James Madison, Iowa State, Baylor, North Dakota State, Delaware, Fresno State, Southern Miss, Tulane, Bucknell, Grand Valley State, North Carolina A&T, Northern Michigan, Illinois State, Alabama, Eastern Michigan, San Diego State, Seton Hall, Pitt, or Rutgers gear today.
Just make sure you get Zot.
I love. Do you think that I can register for just home field shirts for my wedding?
I mean,
oh my gosh, that would be amazing.
You need to go talk to home field about making like dish towels.
I want hats so bad. I think I might start trying to bully home field like everyone did over the Doggers. I think that I might try and see if other people will jump on the hat train with me.
Yeah. I like it. Big 12 baseball, college baseball is underway. It just kicked off this weekend. Go check out College Baseball Nation. We love those guys. They do a good job of keeping track of everything. Big 12 had a rough Saturday. It was not good. 0-7. Not great. Rebounded on Sunday. Nice day. Oklahoma State getting a win. TCU with a really nice win there. So college baseball going on, in case you were curious. College softball underway as well, the Big 12. Iowa State off to a very nice start to their softball. Jamie, do you pay attention to all Iowa State sports like I do all Oklahoma State sports? Or are you kind of like a basketball and football and everything else?
I try to follow as much as possible. Like, my capacity to follow things extremely closely is not extremely high right now, so I haven't been able to watch yet. But especially this year, there's a possibility that I might cover them later in the season, just because I do broadcasting and I do have familiarity with softball. So I might be covering them later, and so I'm definitely trying to follow them. But with how well they've started off the season, they might be looking for someone better, because there's gonna be I think a lot of excitement around the program. I couldn't even be mad about it. But no, I mean, off to the best start in school history. Started off 8-0, dropped one yesterday, but then won a big one today. To start off 9-1 still. So yeah, I mean, Iowa State softball's been struggling a little bit for a couple of years. That I mean, but I mean, gosh, yeah, this year is, and it's solid wins. You know, the win for number 8 was over 21 ranked Mizzou and pretty convincing. So I'm super excited. I especially will be really, really happy when they can play at home and it's nice and I can go like sit out there and watch or be covering the games. It'll be super fun. I like softball. My mom thinks that I should have kept playing softball and because I was a pitcher, and she gets sad when the Olympics come on because she's convinced I was a lot better than I was. But I enjoy watching softball.
Very nice. Very nice. We could keep this pod going, but I don't see any reason to because we would just be yammering. So let's wrap up on this. Very excited for our episode coming up on Thursday. As I always do, I'm not going to tell you what it is because if I do, it will fall through. And if our interview we have set up falls through and I tell you what it is, I will be very sad, as will Jamie. And you'll find out why on Thursday. Also, do us a favor. Make sure you are subscribed to the show so you do not miss our episodes every Monday and Thursday morning up at 6 a.m. Typically, I'd say all the time. Every once in a while, one slips through the cracks. Give us a follow on Twitter at 1012podcast, T-E-N, the number 12, the word podcast, on the gram at 1012pod, where we post exclusive content. Don't forget to leave us a rating and review. We would appreciate it. It helps with the show. So if you're a fan of the show, it takes just a few minutes, especially if you're an iTunes listener on your app, to just go in and write a little quick review, say, we love the show, here's 5 stars, or here's 5 stars, but I want to be mean, and that's fine. I can take constructive criticism, especially on things I can fix. If you have an idea for the show, please let us know, because we're going to keep doing our quick fire questions. We missed that on last week's show, but don't worry, they will be back this week with one of our guests. Homefield Apparel, 20% off your first order, promo code 1012. You can follow our good friends here, Andy and Jamie, on the Twitters as well. Andy at Andy Mitts, that's MITTS 12, 1-2, just like 1012. And of course, I feel like that was on purpose, Andy. Was that
it actually had 12? Nothing to do with you. 12 has been my favorite number for a really, really long time. And when I had to add a number to the end of my name, I just went with it because that's what I normally do. So you just got lucky that it all matched up. But it was kind of perfect because I cover a lot of Big 12 stuff anyway. So
my favorite's 11, so I'm one better.
Well, that's perfect for baseball. And, you know, you're Iowa State and they don't play baseball. So that doesn't matter. Go follow Jamie as well at jstyz, J-S-T-E-Y-Z. Give her a nice message. She could use it. She's stressed out as well. Wedding planning advice. I'm sure she would love your wedding planning advice. I know women always love to have random strangers give them wedding planning advice. No, my wife surely did. I'm sure Jamie will love to have that. Andy, I'm sure your wife could also agree. That sounds like just what they want to open up Twitter to find. I'm sorry, Jamie.
Oh, yeah.
I accept home field gift cards.
Yes.
If you want to send advice, send it with a home field gift
Speaking card. Of home field gift there cards and things, I will say this. We're getting closer and closer and closer to March Madness. We will have a bracket challenge of some sort. I know we did it on Yahoo last time. We'll probably move that to something else this time. We will have a bracket challenge. There will be a prize for the winner. Yes, the three of us will participate. No, the three of us cannot win the prize, but I want to make sure everybody else can compete against the three of us, Jamie, Andy, and myself. So keep your ears open for that. We'll announce it here. We'll announce it on Twitter. We'll make sure the link is on Twitter and get as many people in on that bracket challenge as possible. Yes, our giveaway item will probably be home field apparel related, because what the heck else would you possibly want?
Right. Why not? I mean, what else would you give them?
Maybe some Lazy for coffee. That's an option as well. I'll talk to Tristan. All right. So with that, because we've rambled at the end here way too long, which is pretty much how this show
the entirety
goes most of the time. Yeah, it's just a long ramble. We'll be back on Thursday, and we'll talk to y'all then.